Let me share a couple of things I thought were funny with you, all right? There were two little boys, and they were brothers. They were staying with their grandparents the week before Christmas. And one of them, they knelt down beside their bed one night before bedtime, and one of them, the youngest one, just started praying so loud. He was praying at the top of his lungs, "God, please send me a new bicycle. God, please send me a new bicycle." And this went on for a couple of minutes, and his big brother looked at him and said, "Bro, God is not deaf." And he said, "I know, but Grandma is." All right? So it's all about how you ask, you know, you got to get the information to the right place. Let me share a little story about Bubba. In Bubba's early years, he was known to break the law occasionally, all right? And one Christmas, it was right before Christmas, and Bubba is standing before the judge, and the judge is in a pretty good mood, and so he's trying to work with Bubba, and he said, "Bubba, what are the charges that are brought against you?" And Bubba said, "Well, I've been doing my Christmas shopping a little bit early this year." And the judge said, "Well, that's not a crime. You didn't break the law. How early did you do your Christmas shopping?" And Bubba said, "Before the store opened." All right, I'll leave that one with you. Some of you will catch up on that one later. We all love Christmas. We get what Christmas is all about. It's just a fun time of year. It's the cold weather. And by the way, whoever's praying for the weather today, thank you. We're going to get you on that from now on. The cool weather, shopping and music and movies and presents and all of it. And of course, we all love Christmas lights. On Thanksgiving night, my family and I, we drove through one of the drive-through Christmas light shows that cost $40, you know, and you drive through and it takes 30 minutes. And it was, as I'm driving through, I'm just thinking, man, this was a lot of work to put all these Christmas lights up. But it was well worth the price of admission because I didn't have to do anything except pay and drive through. And we had hot chocolate and it was so much fun. When I was a kid, we would drive around and look for Christmas lights, you know, and just had fun. We would just ride around in the car. And we used to do that with our kids. I remember one time I was really going to impress my kids, and I fixed up our front yard with all kinds of lights, and I was fired up about it, and we got them away from the house before it got dark, so when the lights came on, we could drive up, and as a young dad, I was like, they're going to see it, it's going to be fun, and they're going to be excited. I promise you, we drove up to the car, my kids both got out of the car and walked in the house and never saw the Christmas lights. And I just looked over at Jody and said, "That's it. I'm done with Christmas lights." All right. So we get it. Some people get into it. I mean, all into it. Some of them are just beautiful. Take a look at this first one right here. How can you beat that, right? I mean, somebody really has the season at heart. How about this next one? Look at that. Beautiful. How about the next one? Yeah, that one is that's kind of a classic. And then there are those people who do Christmas lights that they don't get them quite right, but you have to say, you know, good try. You know, that's this next one. I don't know what about that makes it look like they tried but didn't hit the mark. But anyway, you get it. And then there's some funny ones. Let's take a look at this next one. I mean, that guy, he's got it. And then how about the next one? Story is, you can check this later, story is that people have been putting these mannequins hanging from the lights, hanging from the roof, have garnered several 911 calls, afraid that something was wrong. And how about this last one? Now that guy, he knows how it's done. I bet you can get that ditto sign next year at Walmart, probably. But then there are some people that just go over the top, right? And just are bigger and better than everybody else. Take a look at this. Listen, That one is so fun to drive by, but can you imagine living beside those people? And that music, and I mean, that would probably be, that might spoil your Christmas spirit, I don't know. But he went all out. I mean, he's all about the Christmas lights. So it got me thinking, why do we do Christmas lights? And I don't know exactly when it begins, but it made me start thinking about what the Christmas story, the beginning of Christianity, what it really says about this, or what the lights say about that, about it. And to help answer that question, I want us to go all the way back to the beginning of the Christmas story. Now, we've all heard the Christmas story, and the theme of lights is woven throughout the Christmas story. The Jesus' birth, and it just never dawned on me to put the two together. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus. And now, we're not trying to say that every Christmas light in America is pointing people to Jesus, but the Christmas story points us to this idea of lights. It says it over and over. According to the Bible, a long time ago, the world was perfect. And then, God created a perfect paradise for us to live in. And then darkness entered the world. The Bible calls it sin, entered the world, and sort of messed everything up. And now we live in a dark and broken world. Just look at the news. It's pretty simple to see. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to the point I don't even like to look at the news except for that one little clip at the end they did about cowboys and puppies and all those things. Our world is messed up. We all know that. But Christmas is the story of God's solution to that darkness. Christmas, I'm going to say it again, Christmas is God's solution, is the story of God's solution to this darkness. Now, it's us realizing, as we realize and understand what Jesus has come to do for us, we then get to experience the light of Christmas in a different way. Now, if you have your Bibles today, we're going to jump on John chapter 1, and we're going to start right at the beginning, John 1:1. And we're just going to start right at the beginning. Now, it starts off with these words. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what we need to know about that is later on in verse 14, the Word, John explains to us, is referring to Jesus. So he says, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Now, he's really saying to us that this is the story. Jesus was here from the beginning of time. At the beginning of whatever was here in the beginning, Jesus was a part of that. Now, we could share a message on the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right now, but that's a message for a different day. Jesus was right there at the beginning. In verse 4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Light. That life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, John is referring to John the Baptist, not the John who wrote the book of the Bible that we're reading in right now. John the Baptist was a prophet that would come and tell people about Jesus. And here's what it says about him. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, or Jesus, so that through him all might believe. Through Jesus, all might believe. He himself was not the light. John the Baptist was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, when it starts off by telling us that Jesus has been here all along. And why did he come? Well, according to John, Jesus came to bring the light. He came to shine in the darkness, a light so strong that darkness can never overcome it. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, have you ever been somewhere that was completely pitch black dark? You ever been somewhere like that? Where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Now, I remember one time when I was about 16 years old, I had just started driving and I was headed home one night by myself. It was after dark And when I got home, nobody was there. Now, we lived way out in the country, and I don't think we believed in outside lights on the house, you know. That was before motion sensor lights, for sure. So when you drove up, it's just dark outside. Inside was just dark. And so I remember driving up to the house and being a little bit nervous. Like, I don't know. I don't spend much time here by myself. There's always other people, especially after dark. And so I parked the car, and I got out, and I walked in into the house, and immediately, I mean, as I'm turning the light on, I hear something in the back of the house. Well, I also immediately know it's a murderer. I'm not gonna lie, I got nervous. And I'm not the kind to wait and let a murderer sneak up on me, so I'm proactive here. We're going for him. It's going to get ugly. It might be a massacre, but I'm not going down without a fight. So I rummage through the kitchen drawer until I find the biggest knife we have in the whole house. And I start going through the house. I mean, every new room I walk in, I just walk around in the darkness, you know. I don't walk around in the darkness. I walk in and flip the light on. You know that. So I flip the light on, and I'm doing one of these every, and then I'm checking every closet. I'm like, that's where murderers hide, is in closets, right? And so every closet, we don't have doors that just open. We got those old louver doors that fold four ways, you know. And so if you're ever trying to sneak up on a murderer, that's a bad place to try to sneak up on, because you got to fight the door to get it open, and then you got to stab him and all that stuff. So I go through the whole house. Terrified. I do not find a murderer. And I finally get back to the kitchen. I put the drawer back in the kitchen. A few minutes later, my family walks in. I don't say a word. I keep this secret to myself for years, because I was embarrassed about being afraid of the dark in that moment. Whatever I heard was not a real sound. It was something I made up because I was scared of the darkness. Now what can darkness do to light? Nothing. Darkness can do nothing to light. If a light is shining, no matter how dark it is, the light will continue to shine. But without light, darkness takes over. Now, darkness, by definition, isn't even really a thing. Darkness is only the absence of light. It's only dark because there's no light. So it's important that we get this. So Jesus came to be the light because the world was already dark. It wasn't that the world had a little bit of light already. It was that it was completely dark, and Jesus came to be the light. That's where, when the world is without Jesus, each of us needs Jesus. Each of us needs a relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is the light of the world. He said so himself. When Jesus spoke, look at John chapter 8. Take a look at this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Being a Christian isn't some spiritual club for super elite people. Whoever believes in Jesus can have eternal life. So you can be rescued from the dark and the dark things of your past, because Jesus can make all the darkness go away. He offers forgiveness and salvation and love and hope and joy and eternal life and all those things. In John 3:16, the Bible says, we all know it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It says, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, then you can have eternal life. You can be saved. And so that's important. But a few verses past that, down in verse 19, it says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into this world, into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now this is important. He said, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Now, there's a problem here. It's like when you go into a really dark room and your eyes adjust to the darkness, you don't feel like it's so dark anymore. you know, as the sun goes down, I know if you're a parent, you've had this conversation. You walk in a dark room and your child is reading, not on their phone, in a book. I know it's rare, but are they reading a book? No, not really. They're reading a book, and the first thing you say is, don't you need some light? You're not really saying, can I help you with a light? You're saying, turn the light on. Turn the light on. And what do they say every single time? I'm good. They've adjusted to that dark room. And maybe their young eyes can see the stupid book. I don't know. I'm teasing. Maybe they can see it. But in life, when we start to adjust to the darkness, it's a problem. Jesus came to be light. As soon as light comes into darkness, if you're sitting in darkness, it burns your eyes when the light comes in. You ever heard anybody walk in on you when you're taking a nap? Hey, and turn a light on. You're like, I'll fight you right now. Turn that light off. I mean, turn the stinking light off. It hurts your eyes, and you have to do these, and you don't know who's in the room, and it creates all kind of anxiety, and we hate it because we were very comfortable in our dark place. As soon as the light comes on, then we have to deal with what's around us. That's the reason we turn the light off when we go to bed, right? I don't have to deal with all this stuff. All the stuff that's around me, I flip the light off, I go to bed, and I'll take care of it tomorrow, right? I don't want it to bother me. I don't want this to be on my mind. We're going to turn off the TV. We're going to turn off the music. We're going to turn off the lights. All the stuff so that I don't have to deal with that right now. And when you're asleep and somebody does that to you and turns on the light, it gives you a startle. Jesus is so bright and so pure that he exposes the darkness in our life, and he causes us some discomfort sometimes. Sometimes he's trying to get us into the light, and he turns the light on, and we want him to turn it on with a dimmer, you know. And we want him to just take 10 years to turn the light on so we can get adjusted to it, and that's not the way it works. When he turns a light on in our life, we see things that we wouldn't otherwise see. We have to deal with things that we wouldn't otherwise have to deal with. Now, my wife has a makeup mirror. It's a little thing that hooks on the wall, and it has lights all around it. It's a mirror with lights. And I've looked in that mirror when the lights are off. Now, my wife is beautiful, and she doesn't need it. I don't know if she's in here, but she doesn't need it, all right? But I looked in it with the lights off, and I was like, that's pretty good. All right, we're good. And then I was like, I'm just going to flip the switch and turn the light on for a minute. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, who is that guy in that mirror? I mean, there are wrinkles and blemishes and all kinds of stuff. And you know what I do? I don't get upset. I turn the light off. I'm done with that. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm at an age now where when I look in the mirror and I feel like things are pretty good and I can leave, and then I go, you know what? Maybe I should try my glasses. And just put my glasses on and go, okay, I wasn't quite done yet. I need to make sure this is handled. And so the light reveals blemishes and problems in our life. And when we allow the light to do its work, then things change for us. You could be afraid to look into a lighted mirror because the design is to shine on you and to reveal things. So when we look into the light of Jesus, he's going to reveal things. He's never going to reveal something to us that we can't handle. He's going to, with his help, reveal things that we can handle, that we are able to work on, that we are able to change. It's necessary to look at it from time to time. It's necessary to allow the light to shine. That's what Jesus does for us. Next to his perfection, every imperfection in my life shows up. But that's why Jesus died. It's so that I could have someone that could handle my sin and handle my problems and handle my life and change me and turn me into something different. It feels like we're exposed when a light comes on. So we have choices to make. We get to make those choices. So sometimes we avoid Jesus. Sometimes we back away from him just a little bit. I don't know if I want that yet. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. We're afraid of what the light shows us. So this Christmas season, this is not a cliche message where it's like just remember the reason for the season. You know, wise men still seek him. All those bumper stickers. That's not what this is about. It's about saying, Lord, I want this to be very deep. I want you to shine your light on me. I want you to change me, mold me into who you've made me to be. I want to focus on you the right way. Because Christmas isn't about Santa or presents or shopping or any of that stuff. Christmas is about light. It's all about Jesus. So let's keep our focus on him this season. Every time you see a Christmas light this year, it's my prayer. I hope that you are reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. I hope every time you ride by a house with Christmas lights, you go, that's it. I remember what we're doing here. He's the only hope we have. It can be a reminder as we're going about our day that Jesus is the light of the world. In Jesus, there's hope, there's light, there's purpose that we can continue to carry on in the world, but we live in a dark world. So Jesus alone can rescue us from that dark world. So if we know all that, what do we do with this message? What do we do? I've asked Adam. I'm going to ask Adam to come over and help me. He doesn't know what he's getting into. Give Adam a hand. So think about this. When you decorate your house, if you've ever decorated the outside of your house for Christmas, and or the inside for that matter, and you get to that point, come right over here and stand right here. You get to that point where you're like, all right, now we got to plug it in, and we're going to see if this works. And if you are living in a real world, you have plugged it in, and one light is out, and it's keeping the other half of the string of lights from working. And you have to hold back what you want to say in it so that it won't come out. And because you've put so much work into it. And if you've done the outside of the house, and you're waiting for that one big moment, and you plug it in, and something doesn't work, a breaker flips, a fuse blows, whatever happens, and it doesn't work, it's a problem. It's a problem. Now, when we are listening for what God wants to do in our lives, there is no moment where we have to be afraid, is the light of Jesus going to shine in my life? There's no moment where we have to be afraid of that moment. If you're connected to him, you're connected to him, all right? It doesn't hinge on how good you are. It only hinges on, have you said yes to Jesus? Because as long as you believe in him, you're on the right path. So that brings us to Adam. Adam does not know what he's getting into. As a matter of fact, Adam is getting married the 23rd of this month. Yeah. Amen. Yep. Yep. They're gonna have a Christmas wedding. All right. So we're gonna get him ready for his Christmas wedding today. All right. So here's what I want to do. I got some beautiful Christmas lights. Remember, the question is, what am I gonna do with this message here? Adam, I want you to just wrap these right around you. This is what you're going to wear at your wedding. All right? All right. Just hold those just like that. All right? And then what we're going to do, we've already got some power. We're already connected to the source here. And we're just going to get you lit up. All right? Now we're going to take it a step further. And I want you just to hold this right over your head. Now, listen, don't laugh at Adam. He either looks like a Christmas tree or the Statue of Liberty. I'm not sure which. All right. Now listen, what am I going to do with this message? Here's number one. If you're a follower of Christ, if you follow Christ, spread the light. Spread the light everywhere you go. Now listen, here's the beautiful thing about this. If you spread the light of Jesus, a dark world is going to go, you look a little bit weird up here, Adam. You don't look normal spreading light, because we're all out here. We're all so used to darkness that this light thing is just a little awkward for us. Imagine if he goes out with this in real life. We're all going to be just wondering what in the world's going on, you know? But in a spiritual sense, if you are the light of the world, people are going to look at you like you're a little different. Like you don't quite fit into this thing. And you don't have to say anything to that. But here's what we know. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. See, our job is to spread the light of Jesus. Our job is to be the light everywhere we go. So who are you going to share the light with this week? Because most of us live our lives like this. Like, one day I'm going to do something big for God. One day I'm going to do something, and we leave all of the lights in the box, in the metaphorical box. We don't take them out. And then one day we pull them out and we wonder why they don't work. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. It's up to us to say, all right, you can take that. I forgot you had that up. You don't have to keep holding that up. It's up to us to be light everywhere we go. So who is it in your life right now that needs you to be light? Is it a coworker? Is it a neighbor? Is it a friend? Is it a family member? Who needs you to be the light? They're over here in the dark. They haven't met Jesus yet. They seem to be doing okay, but they haven't met Jesus. And as good as things are going in their everyday normal life, right? That's fine. But what about their eternity? Jesus said, I want to light things up. I want to light this dark world. I don't want the darkness to overtake you. I want you to be children of the light. I want you to overtake the dark. You don't have to be afraid of this dark world. You don't have to walk through life with that butcher knife. Because the darkness can never extinguish the light. The darkness will never be more powerful than the light. The darkness has to run from the light. And when you are light in your family, it expels darkness. But I'm going to be honest with you. When you start showing light, not telling people, don't be quoting scripture at people who don't want to hear it, okay? Don't be punching people in the mouth with the Bible, but loving people right where they are. When you love people, that darkness is going to fight back. That there's going to be some pushback, and you're going to go, what in the world? I didn't even know it. And you're going to have to remember, when you are light, the darkness is in turmoil. The darkness is having to flee. You're creating problems in the spirit world. And your job is to be faithfully walking in the light and being light to the people around you. So don't get mad at them. We all have to learn this, and we all learn it at different times and places in our life. Don't be mad at them because they're not in the light yet. Just let your light shine a little brighter. Just be love to them. Just show them the love of Christ. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Just follow Jesus. Do what he says to do. Be light in the world. Serve them. Love them. Go the extra mile with them. Help them when they need it, and you can give it. Just be the light of Jesus to them. All right, Adam, I'm gonna let you off the hook. Can you give Adam a hand? Look at there. All right. Thank you, sir. I'm going to put it right here. I'm just going to let those keep going right there. All right. Now, here's the second thing. First thing is spread the light, and the second thing is, if you haven't accepted Jesus, see the light. See the light. See what Jesus has done for you. John 12:46. I told you we were going to jump all over the book of John today. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. He said, I came here so that you could have light, so that I could be the light to you. Now, here's the truth. If there's anyone living in a dark world today, it's the power of Jesus that helps us overcome it. You can't fix it with a pill. You can't even fix it with a new marriage. You can't fix it with a better job. You can't fix it with more money. Or vacations, or a pile of stuff in your garage. You just can't do it. You cannot keep running away and hope that it gets better. You got to stop and let the light of Jesus shine on you. He alone is the light of the world. He died in our place, gave up his life so we could be saved. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's a reminder to us that the season of Christmas is to celebrate the light of Jesus. We're not celebrating toys and gifts and Christmas candy. We're celebrating the light of Jesus, and we all need that light. My dad, I'm going to close with this. My dad is an outdoorsman. He always loved to fish and hunt and be outside and do all those things. And from the time I was a little boy, I was behind. I'm on his trail. I wanted to be wherever he was. I wanted to be, and I still feel the same way. Wherever he is, I want to be right there. Just knows stuff about the outdoors. I just wanted to be there. If I heard the truck crank up and he was leaving somewhere, I'm out there. I'm in the passenger seat. I want to be there. I want to see what's going on. And I'll never forget one night we were, I've told this story before, we were walking beside a river, and I didn't know the way, and I was a young boy, and we had one flashlight, and I'll never forget, my dad did not hold the flashlight and look for his way. No, no, he led the way. As I'm walking behind him, he held the flashlight behind him so I could see my way. He knew the way. He held the flashlight so I could see my way. When Jesus exposes something in our life, he's just showing us the right way. He's just saying, come on, I got a path for you. Follow me. I know the way. Just follow me. And I just encourage everybody in the room, everybody online today, if you're feeling like you're in a dark place, if you're feeling like you're in a dark place, make your way to Jesus this morning. Make your way to the light. Make your way to the light. When the angels told the shepherds that the Messiah had been born, what did they do? They immediately started gathering up their stuff and said, let's go. Let's go. Let's go find him. They were just going about their daily life. They didn't even know they needed a Savior. And so today may be your day to say, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready to unload all of my past. I'm ready to walk away from the darkness. I'm ready to be free. I'm ready to walk in the light. I'm ready today. If that's you, we're going to pray in just a minute. And the Bible teaches us to just confess our sins to the Lord, to put our faith in him and make him Lord of our life. Just start a relationship with him. Just to say, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes. To see the light. To see the light. Maybe you're like that ship that's way out in the ocean, and all you can do is see the one little light from the lighthouse. But it's giving you direction today. And you know that the thing I need to do is follow the path accordingly. Let the light shine on my path and let God help me. So if that's you this morning, you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, we're going to pray. Or maybe you're at that point where you say, I need to spread the light. Need to share the light of Jesus to the people around me. We're going to pray that as well. I want you to stand with me if you would. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pray this together. Lord, we thank you today for all you've done and all of your blessings in our life. But God, we thank you most of all, Lord, we thank you for the light. The light that shines on our path, the light that exposes our lives so that we can surrender to you, can show us the way. And Lord, today, if there's anybody who needs to surrender to you, I pray, Lord, that they would start this very simple journey with you, Lord, to admit that they've sinned and believe in you and confess you as Lord of their life. And let this be the day that everything changes and their life is brand new today. God, we ask that, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church family to just embrace them and love them in the way they need to be loved and cared for. Ask for your help with that today. And God, for those that need to share the light of Jesus, to spread the light, God, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be strong enough to share that light this Christmas season, Lord. That we would do this your way according to your plan and your will, and we just trust you, Father, for what's coming. And we need you. We want to light the path for other people. Sometimes we're a little nervous about it. Sometimes we don't know quite what to do. And we ask for your help with that today. And we thank you, Lord, for what's coming. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give them some praise, everybody. Amen.